Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Experience Kills. I'm your host Ben and with me today is Richard.
Good day, sir.
Lovely to have you with us as always, Rich.
Well, nice to be back. Nice to be with you. What we're going to be talking about today, mate?
Well, what we're going to be talking about actually is one of those things where we both had a chance to play this, and that's Vigor, that's currently out in a game preview on Xbox One, and I think it's early access on other platforms and whatever they want to call it. But we played it on Xbox, and we actually got to play it together.
Yeah.
And it's
vigorously
this new game. Sorry.
Vigorously.
Oh dear. It's already begun. The dad jokes have started.
Go on.
And it's the new game by Bohemia Interactive, which are the guys behind DayZ, which in many ways was like the progenitor to the modern sort of battle royale survival games that now are incredibly popular on just about every platform going under the sun. And yeah, Vigor is like their new twist on it. We had a good time with this, didn't we? We could definitely see the battle royale heritage.
Mm. Yeah, it felt and appeared quite a lot like PUBG, didn't it? So the visual style.
Yeah, initially thought, yeah, definitely PUBG in its gun handling and its sort of visual look to it. It looks nice, I think, definitely. It's a pretty game.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want anyone to take that as a slight on this game because PUBG isn't the best looker in the world. But yeah, this looks, I don't know, it's kind of got almost a unique look, hasn't it? Being based in Norway, it's got that sort of ethereal vibe in just the glowing skies and the atmosphere of it all. Nice environment, I thought.
Yeah, so the setting is a sort of, I think it's late 80s maybe, or mid 80s. The apocalypse has happened. Nuclear war between Russia and America, and therefore Norway, being out of the way as it is, has remained relatively unscathed and has now become like the safe haven to survivors, to where people can continue and scavenge and live and build a life for themselves away from the post-apocalyptic wasteland that you can imagine is everywhere else on the planet, and therefore we have a slightly unique setting with a bit of variety. So obviously we have sort of like kind of pretty woods and like snowy landscapes and small towns, and yeah, it gives you a slightly different vibe maybe than some of the other survival and sort of battle royale games that are out there at the moment. I quite like it, and there's this central mechanic where you have a reason to go into these maps and these matches, which are obviously on a much smaller scale than PUBG and different from DayZ because there's no walking zombies and stuff like that to deal with. It is just other players, but it's up to like a dozen or so players. Me and Rich obviously played in a duo, or you can play it solo, which is a whole nother level of tense. And the goal is to scavenge things like supplies, nails, raw materials, different bits of tech to upgrade your own little home base to make it pretty and give yourself more abilities, which I thought was a kind of a nice bit of connecting tissue to actually incentivize those actions.
Yeah, and to sort of give a face to your achievements so far beyond a number. Mm. It's nice that you can see that progress being literally built in front of you.
Yeah, and I mean we're pretty early days for both of us. Richard was able to play in like a weekend access thing that was opened up on Xbox, and I was fortunate enough to get the Founders Pack so I can play it in early access. And you know, it is slightly odd, I guess, this sort of habit that these smaller games and smaller developers do, where they let you get into your early access game with what will be free to play, but you have to pay to play it early. And the way they kind of get around that is they give you a bunch of in-game currency to sort of make up for, and make good, I should say, for that slightly odd way of getting access to the game in early access or on game preview. But that's fine. I mean, I looked at spending some in-game currency in the store, and frankly, I found the items a little bit dull. Nothing. I wanted a really silly hat, and I couldn't find one, Richard.
It's quite a serious game, is my impression, and that doesn't carry over particularly well to the usual model of these things, where you start with boring clothes and skins, and the more exciting, vivacious of those items are the incentive to grind or pay money. But yeah, nothing silly so far.
The game has come on quite a long way since it first went into game preview and is developing at a pace. It's probably going to be released into free-to-play very soon, actually. The roadmap indicates this summer, so it could really be any week now. And it feels like it's basically done. I know the build number is in the 0.9 area, so it's very close to release, to final release sort of code at this point. I think that a lot of work has been done to the feeling of mobility and the shooting model. How did you find combat in this game, other than that it being like incredibly scary, because there is a real sense of loss, and you know, you do take a big hit if you've spent, you know, 20 minutes scavenging and you die in one of these games. You do lose everything on your person unless you've taken out this sort of insurance policy that prevents that from happening, which you can only do with real world money, or sort of the in-game currency that you've bought with real world money, which is a bit like, okay, that's an amusing way around that worry there, that threat, I suppose, if you're going in with really high-end gear. But at the same time, yeah, I died in this game by falling off of a cliff. I didn't actually get shot. You will see that in the video, me trying to make my way to the extraction point, really messing up a jump, not once, but twice, which resulted in me falling to my death and losing all my stuff, which was justified, I
think. Pretty funny for me, having just done that jump with ease, and you're like, did you jump that?
I don't know what I was doing.
Yep. No, that's funny.
I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, this insurance policy stuff, and you know what you're talking about being killed and losing everything, it makes it sound overly punitive. It's not. So don't get the wrong impression if you haven't had a look at this yet and are worried that it's too hard. The games that we played, there weren't very many enemies that we encountered at all, were there?
There was one guy.
So we heard people in the middle distance shooting and running around. We heard stuff, but only one encounter, which was really fraught, actually. And it felt different to me from the usual sort of video game encounters. One, because of the gun mechanics, it is quite realistic. You don't get very much ammo, so it's really easy to waste your bullets and have no effect. You've really got to be careful to use your bullets wisely in this, and actually take an enemy out. We didn't end up killing the guy, did we? We injured him and he ran off.
Nope.
Which,
yeah, we all got injured and nobody got anything for it.
Which kind of felt like probably what we'd end up doing in real life, wouldn't we, if that happened?
You could have, like, you'd be hiding behind a tree shooting without looking, and then you just run away when you got a chance.
Yeah.
That is accurate.
And we did get away with our stuff even after that encounter. So it was only Ben's terrible climbing abilities that have set us back.
Just like real life. Yeah, the only thing I'll say is you it does become more painful to lose your stuff as the game progresses, because once you start crafting and finding higher end weapons and better gear, there's going to be a real sense of loss if you lose them in a match, because they cost so much more to craft and they're so much rarer to find and things like that. So that it does become a very tense experience. And the way they try, they don't have a shrinking circle like in Battle Royale, but they have this supply drop that comes in once on every map, and which is shown on your map. You don't know where the other players are, but you know where the supply drop is. And that incentivizes people to actually go to the same location, because that's the best stuff you can get from any one map. You know, you can get all your basic crafting materials for just poking around different buildings and stuff like that. But if you want the kind of awesome crate stuff, if you want the stuff that you might have to only be able to get from like the premium currency store, such as skins and outfits and things like that, that's what you're going to find in the supply drop. So you can also, interestingly, I noticed as well, when you load into a game, you can pay to increase the rarity of the drops in the game, in the match you're about to do. And it's sort of a thing that everybody can do. They can all pay in the lobby to increase, you know, the better the sort of quality stuff.
Yeah.
I've not noticed a lot of people doing that, but I think that's an interesting mechanic. Again, you have to use the in-game currency to do it.
Hmm.
So I'm they're trying to monetize things in slightly different ways. You know, because I know I did poke around their in-game store, and like I said, it wasn't the most exciting stuff, but it was all quite low priced. I think they're more keen on you trying to spend money to get this better loot, take out the insurance policy, things like that.
Yeah.
Which I think it's different, you know. I don't know if it's going to work out. Obviously, the game right now is in preview. It's going to be free to play, so don't worry about, you know, the entry fee at the moment. You know, it's not going to be long at all. You might as well wait. But I actually really enjoyed this game. I think it's a different take on the formula we've sort of established so far, which Bohemia Interactive have established themselves, and they are taking it into a different direction. I think it's fun.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have that serious edge in the market when everything is, you know, trying to compete with Fortnite for brash popularity. It's nice to see that difference. Even the you know, constantly withdrawing circle idea has its equivalents in this without being quite so video gamey. So because of the nuclear apocalypse, although Norway is safer, you have got that constant low-level radiation that presents a risk if you stay too long within any given arena. So you do get warnings about how long you've been exposed, which is another element to the, you know, the threat that surrounds you. There might be someone in the building down the hill. Is it worth going to check that out? Have you even got enough time to get down there and back to the closest escape point, having explored it? So, yeah, it does throw those decisions at you and presents more of a realistic situation than some of the similar titles that we've seen.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I mean, it does encourage contact with other players as well, because the maps, while they are big, they are not, you know, Arendal PUBG big, or the map in Apex Legends big, or the map for Fortnite big. They do feel expansive, but they have limited extraction points. So what happens is when time is running out, you're going to be all forced to go for these extraction points. So you're, you know, again, quite likely to run into the remaining players at that point, and they're likely to be quite well geared up because it's end game as well. So that can create some quite fraught encounters. You can see what the developers are thinking here, and I like the fact that it's not just one big map, and it's sort of, I think it's about half a dozen or so smaller maps, which all have a different flavor to them and a different setting and a different vibe, so that, you know, there is a bit of variety in there, and I think that's really cool and encourages replayability as well. So I'm going to be very curious to see where Vigor goes when it fully releases into free to play, and I'll be really curious to see, you know, how well it's picked up. I think it could do very well. It's got a different vibe to it, so.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, well done, Bohemia.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it again. I can't play it again at the moment without paying for it, can I? So,
no.
A bit of time off for me, but I enjoyed the free weekend, and I think I will go back to it and have a crack at upgrading my house a bit more.
Yeah, actually, they found a way of putting building in there, even though it's, yeah, serious.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun. It's a really good idea. It's this visual representation of your progress. It's smart. Really smart.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was another episode of Experience Kills. Thank you for coming along and enjoying this short video or audio. We are now back on iTunes. I fixed those problems, if you were even aware that there were any. But we're also available on Spotify, and you can listen to the podcast feed direct using the raw RSS feed if you so wish. But if you're watching this on YouTube, can you please give us a like and a subscribe? That would really help, just, you know, help get the channel out there, help get more people seeing the video. We don't monetize anything. We don't have a Patreon. We don't do adverts. So just send us a little love. You can find me at DIYE on Twitter. Where can they find you, Richard?
I'm at Colonel Red on Twitter.
And you can find the general Experience Kills Twitter at, strangely enough, Experience Kills. So, for now, that is bye-bye.
Bye.